Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 160. The boys are here back in the studio. And today we are very lucky to be joined by the one and only Mr. Morgan Pearson. Morgan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Did you hear when we talked about you on the pod like 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago?
No.
It didn't make it to you?
No.
Do you know what we talked about?
That's a shame.
I'm guessing when I ran the half marathon.
It was really
that's a good guess, yeah. I thought that was going to make it out to...
I thought at least Joe would have might have.
I thought someone would have sent him a clip or something.
Somebody would have
just like a screenshot because I think it was in our title of the video.
It was.
Should Morgan? No, I don't know if it made it in.
Cinta said something to me yesterday.
Yeah,
that's she's like, you're retiring from triathlon now, right?
Okay, so that was. It must have been in our title. I was like, should Morgan retire from triathlon because of how well you did in the Valencia half?
Yeah, thank you.
Is it a compliment? I guess.
We'll get into that and more. Yeah. Later in the episode,
we're gonna have some very fun. To chat with Morgan about everything triathlon world, which is foreign to some of us. George knows probably a bit more about it, but we'll get into all that and talk about his potential retirement.
And we will announce it on the Coffee Club podcast. We'll be the first one to do so if that is the case.
Yeah,
Ollie will be coaching him, obviously.
Joining Jonathan Brazier.
It's gone worse. We haven't checked in on him. We haven't.
No, Donovan's fly fishing. He's able.
We'd be perfect for each other.
Yeah, the combination is just
complimentary.
Yeah, half marathon, 800.
I love it. But before we get into it, we're going to do a quick recap on our trip to New York. And first, we do have a couple of lovely bean shout outs, Ollie.
We do. We've got this lovely bag of beans from a good close friend of us from the podcast and one of Yara's mates who ran at Notre Dame, Peter Whirling. He sent a really nice message here. It says, Ollie, Morgan, George, and Gus, it has been a pleasure getting to know you four fine gentlemen. I don't know if he's actually met us, if that's the case, calling us four fine gentlemen. Whether it be playing board games or chilling in Paris, you have always been so kind to me. Prior to moving out here, listening to you guys on the podcast is a highlight of my week while on the long drive to and from work. It has been so fun seeing the amazing seasons you have all had, and I look forward to cheering you on for years to come. I brought these beans on a walk in San Diego the day after finding out I got in to see you. I hope to hang out with you all the more during my time in Boulder. Your friend, Peter. And you can't see with the camera, but he's got this personalized like little letter note thing, and it's got these cool little trees, and he's got him in front of his Bronco. It's pretty sick.
That's what we need for the pod.
It's very, very cool. And that's Peter, so thank you so much. He had one of the best Halloween costumes.
That's what I was about to ask. What was he at the gala?
So there's a show that we all, I love from Yared introducing me to the show called Over the Garden Wall, which we actually did where I got these beans from Peter. We did it at his place and Colin's place.
That's what he was watch party.
It's a watch party. And we watched, it's 10 episodes, a limited season. It was from Cartoon Network. And it's a very, it's like an adult animation. It's all of ages, really, animation. And there's two characters. The main character is Wirt, which is what Yara dressed up as, and Gregory, which is everyone's favorite character, who wears an upside-down teapot on his head. That was Peter's costume to the Halloween pre-drinks party that we had for the Coffee Cup Gala Year 4. And I thought he had the best costume. It was unreal. So thank you so much, Peter. We love you. And we're looking forward to trying these beads from Trident, which is from San Diego, which is crazy because there's a Trident in Boulder. So...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Peter. We love you. Moving on from that, we did take this amazing trip to New York, Ollie and I, while George was off escapading in...
He was partying.
California.
He was partying.
And it was... I mean, we know George is very sad that he missed out because it was a really fun, amazing trip. We got to meet so many great fans out there and just honestly have an awesome time. And we did get a bunch of beans from you guys. So a quick shout out to Matt and Emily, beans from Artisan Cafe. These ones are from Ryan. Shout out to the Discord boys. Yeah, shout out to Discord from Recess Coffee. And then also from Jacob and Haley, Cafe Integral.
That bag's gone.
Yeah, that bag's looking suspiciously empty.
I think Morgan's taking that bag.
They gave us a bag of air. No, I did already go through this bag.
Was it pretty good?
It was yummy. It was amazing.
George.
Sorry. Sorry, I had to. I just wanted to taste test to be honest, to make sure Morgan, it was fine for you guys.
It's funny because I've
just
done
disappeared.
That. I've done that as well. I've
just
also
bring an empty bag.
Just bring an empty bag in because I was just impatient.
Hey, at least you guys know that we're sampling the goods.
Yeah. True. We are using them.
New York Marathon. We're not going to talk about it too much because we had the full episode come out last week. But just a little recap. And a thank you to, I think we do have to thank a couple of people. Tom Wang did an amazing job putting it together for hosting us.
One of the greatest intros to the podcast we've had in a very long time.
I was just talking to Morg about that this morning.
I was
watching it recently.
Got the crowd going.
Just tears flowing down just because I was so sad that I wasn't there. But the intro is brilliant.
It was
so
fantastic.
Yeah, go check. If you haven't seen that, go check that out just for the intro. We had a great time. It was... From all in my perspective, it was just like an awesome, because we've done a few live podcast recordings and in my opinion, they're kind of a bit stale.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, underwhelming is a good word. Whereas this one, mostly thanks to Tom, like it was a show. And so it was really good. Interact with the crowd, had trivia, the crowd won. And it was just cool. And there was meet and greet after. So I think, you know, we had a great time and I think everyone there enjoyed it as well.
I think... One of the other successful podcasts we've done with the live is having a really good guest like Devin Allen when we were in Philly for Penn Relays. That was cool. But I think what Tom did so well was integrate the crowd into it, and I think made it more of an engagement podcast. Because for us, it's mostly we're just talking to ourselves, and having people there and getting them involved was very special.
New York's like our spot. I think New York's New York, maybe Boston would be good as well, but I think New York is probably our best spot to get a crowd of fans together.
New York kind of loves us, except for the fact that all three of us can't get there at once. Okay. We need to fix that, whatever that curse is. We need it to be lifted because it's unfortunate that we can't get all of us through there. Hopefully next year.
Maybe it was good I didn't come this year, though. Last year I brought back COVID and just infected the whole team.
Well, and also last year I couldn't walk, so that sucked. But hopefully...
We're on the up. And then, so that was on the Saturday, Sunday... The race went down, and as per usual, it was some amazing racing. Helen came second. I mean, we ran some great competition. I think she left it all out there. So, I mean, obviously we wanted her to win, but I think it capped off an amazing year for her, another amazing year of racing. So,
if you had those results for 1500 meters at that level of talent, you'd be like super impressed with yourself, but she ran that in marathons. So like,
and what she was still,
she won the overall, right?
She won the overall. Like World Marathon Major.
I forgot that was... I didn't realize that was still a thing.
Does she get money for that? Does she get...
I think it's worth like 50 grand or something.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But she... So, what was it? She podiumed 5 out of the last 6 marathons or something on Major?
That's her career. That's her career marathon.
So that... Like, can you imagine having a career like that?
I mean, that's only in... What? That's only 3 years?
Year,
well, 2 years, I guess. If you count from like New York is 0.
She's jumped on the marathon stage and become one of the best marathon women... to do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
So, and it was so sick if anyone of the fans were there, like in the cheer section with us. So we were part of like a much bigger on cheer section. And when she came past there, it was actually relatively early this year that I think it was mile 11 and a half. And she was full like thumbs up.
Dude,
like
that video was so good
to us. Like,
like a full wave and a smile.
Everyone had the Helen heads. Everyone's holding up Helen's head.
That was so good.
Yeah. So that was cool.
She must've just been chilling. Yeah. I guess 11 miles, you hope.
It was a big pack at that point. Yeah. I don't think they were going that fast yet. And I also had a nice chat to Rich Roll the day before. Mm. I tried to sell him our podcast.
What did he say?
I mean, I tried to buy his podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Unsuccessful.
He's on, right?
He is on.
Yeah.
He had
Tom Holland on like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago talking about like his new Birrio company, which is a non-alcoholic company, which looks quite interesting, actually, George. If you're interested in trying out some NAs, I might actually buy some.
He has some in it. He has
this has gone for a sidetrack, but Rich Roll had Tom Holland on, and he talks about Tom Holland had an issue with alcohol, which he kind of just talked about his journey with like just being sober. So then he's like, oh, but I still want to enjoy having a drink with my friends, but I don't want to drink alcohol. So he's actually started up his company called Birrio, and he's got all these different beers that are non-alcoholic. He's got like an IPA, I think he's got like a lager, and then
Rich Roll was like recovering alcohol.
Yeah, so right? they talked about that, and it's actually really good. I mean, it was quite an interesting podcast because the way Tom Holland talked about addiction at his age is a very hard thing to do, because when you're young, you think, oh, like, you know, I don't have an issue, I'm just enjoying myself. But what he was talking about, like the way he's thinking about it all the time and like not really enjoying being a part of the moment, more enjoying just trying to have a drink. Like, you know, that was something that was interesting coming from him. And then
you think it's named after Birrio Car?
Is it actually called Birrio?
Yeah, I think it's B-E-R-I-O. I can look it up.
Oreo flavored beer.
Birrio? Yeah. Dude, Oreo flavored beer would be interesting. That'd be more of a stout.
That'd be gross.
I love it.
So we'll just have Tom Holland on the pod.
Yeah, we can ask him.
We should have asked which role, but just not to distract, but what was the conversation like, Morgan? Because he's like a very successful podcaster.
It was so funny. Because it was after we did our event, he had an event with Cinta, which I stayed for. Which is actually, it was really cool. It was like literally everyone was crying. Like it was very emotional going through the story.
Your mum said you were crying as well.
Yeah, they showed the documentary first of the Helen Cinta one. And then he went and then, yeah, went through that. And then he was just chilling after. Everyone was like coming up talking to him. And then I kind of just asked him about like doing a podcast and like how many episodes he's done. And he's like, yeah, I've filmed over 900 episodes. I was like, okay, that's a lot of episodes.
This is a sidetrack, but you guys are pretty popular podcasters. Is your favorite one?
Oh bro,
like podcasting. Dude,
his podcasts are also like,
who's the best podcaster
long?
In the world?
Who's the best podcaster in the world? The funny thing is
I like somebody, but I wouldn't say they're the best. Like you know Broski, the girl, the lady that does the Broski like she's the Broski podcast.
No, not familiar. I feel like podcasts are very niche thing. Familiar,
she's like this, she's like a pop culture girl that does like a lot of the, she's quite funny. But I've like listened to some of her podcasts and like I might not be her target audience, but I find her quite funny and she's like on her own just talking about like pop culture stuff. And I don't listen to many podcasts, but I heard her and I can't remember what her name is. Broski. I'll get a photo of her.
I've heard Broski. I don't think I've ever listened
to her. You have some you listen to, right, George?
It depends on what type of podcast too, right?
Yeah. I pretty much only, well, like regularly, not proud to admit it, I pretty much only listen to New Heights.
Competitors.
Yeah, we're on a pretty similar level to those guys. And every week, I like Jason Kelsey more and Travis Kelsey less.
Really?
Well, Jason.
Did they address the incident with Jason Kelsey?
Yeah, he did.
Dude, everybody was behind him because of...
Everyone was supporting
Everybody supported him, but to his credit, he like the next time he had a public appearance, he like apologized and said, you can't do that, like condemn it. But everyone's just like, nah, screw that, like...
They are very good at what they do.
Yeah.
This is
the person. I don't know if you guys
know. I don't
know
if they're the best podcast in the world, but.
Never seen that before.
Never seen her?
Why? Who do you listen to, Morgan?
Oh, you guys are the professional podcasters. That's what I asked you.
Yeah, you're you're a professional.
Professional, very loosely. Very loosely, Morgan.
I mean, free coffee.
Yeah, I guess that counts.
The thing is, we don't actually listen to that many podcasts, I think, because I think like the easiest time to listen to podcasts is if you have like a commute.
Yeah.
Or if you, like the time I listen to podcasts is when I'm cross training. So you should be listening to us.
Five hours on the trainer, like 2 days ago. You could have got through five podcasts.
I listened to Pogacar. He did a podcast.
With Peter Attia, that one?
I listened to that one a while ago. He did it with like his sponsor, MyWoosh. It's like a bike. App, yeah, it was okay.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was all right.
Okay,
Fine. Yeah, I've tried after Paris. I was like, I'm done listening to anything when I bike. Not in the trainer inside is different, but when I'm outside, I'm just like, I raw dog it.
No, just raw dog it.
No headphones,
nature.
No podcast. So
that's crazy.
Do you think that helps?
I think it does. I
like
think
the
it's
a mental game.
I think it's like you're more like you're learning how to bike better and. More with the bike.
Paying attention a bit more.
It's got to be safer too.
And it's safer.
Like Boulder is already,
for sure.
I feel like, not super safe on, well, you know.
Safer than other places though.
It's definitely safer than other places.
I was going to say, other places are not as safe.
In New Jersey where I'm from, if I bike at home, it's super sketchy.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. It's interesting. It's interesting.
My favorite, I don't know, have you guys ever heard of the podcast Serial? Do you know what that is?
I've heard of it. It's
like the music one?
Wait, I thought this was a serial killer thing.
No, wait, because I might be getting confused because the two podcasts that come to mind if you talk about favorite, and I might be getting the names confused in them, but one of them was like a true crime podcast that was about a guy from Baltimore. It was like super famous, but this was like quite a long time ago who was in jail, but like they thought he was like wrongfully convicted. So these are like more like, you know, they're only going to be like limited series. Yeah. It's not like ongoing ones. Because then the other one, which I thought it was called Serial, was this guy who would do pretty much like an album breakdown, and he's, I think his second season I listened to and I like loved it, and he broke down Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And this is the type of podcast where he probably does like a year of research to make like 10 episodes.
Wow.
If you know what I mean. Like, it's just like
it 10 episodes on one album or 10 episodes on like albums
one
he picks?
Like, it's like, it's one season, it's just one album, and every episode was a new song.
Oh, wow.
And he's like deep dive. So that's a very different, like that's not just like a conversation, it's just like him.
It's like research. It's like reading a
school
project almost.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it was sick.
You know, listen to Joe Rogan?
I've listened to some episodes because
I've never listened to one. Isn't he the biggest in the world right now?
The only time
he's been the biggest in the world for years.
Yeah. The only time I listen to Joe Rogan is on a like a long haul flight, and then I just like fall asleep.
Because those are very long.
I just like, I'll listen to it for like 45 minutes and fall asleep.
And Theo Vaughn has a podcast as well.
It's massive. Which is very massive. All the comedians have them now. Yeah. That's kind of like their thing. But
which makes sense because they're funny, right? So they want to be able to just, they can just do it easy. I know Bill Burr does one as well.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to break into that space now. One of the things that I asked Rich Roll is like, because I was kind of asking him like, is it like, why are you so much bigger and better than everyone? And like, why are you so ahead of the game? And because obviously now there's like a million podcasts that try to be similar to what Rich Roll does. And he was telling me, he said, you know, when I started this, I don't know how many years ago it was, he said, nobody did podcasts. Like, he was the first one. Like, he said he instantly went to number one in health podcasts just because he had no competition at all. And so now he's, you know, built up this reputation, this brand, this show. And so he's just like, no one's going to catch him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got 900 episodes in the bank. And the difference between him and us, this is something that's kind of bad from like a more business standpoint about our podcast. I think you can go back and listen to our podcast and you'll have a good time. But so a lot of the stuff that we talk about is time sensitive.
Yeah.
Whereas his podcasts are evergreen. Mm. You know, if you're dealing, if you want to hear him talk with a specific person, like it's probably
still
always going to be relevant or a specific issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's just like, he's crushing it. Yeah.
What does he think of our podcast? Did you ask him that?
Yeah. He was more like, I don't think he really knew. Like, he obviously didn't know about us. I was like, yeah, I got a podcast too. He's like, oh yeah, I saw her.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he walked past, actually, when we were doing the live thing.
So he knew about it.
We were talking.
For an hour before.
Yeah, we were talking and I just see Rich Roll just walk like around the back of the crowd. He's like looking around.
He's like, what's that noise?
Why is everyone here? What's going on? And then he just sees two Aussies at the front. He's like, oh, they must be doing some sort of...
He probably assumed that they were warming everyone up for him.
Yeah, we were the pre-show.
Yeah,
we were the pre-show.
One thing that was sick about our recording, and this again is a shout out to everyone who came out. So when we turned up to set up like an hour before,
oh God,
they were taking chairs away because... The way it worked is you had to register because there was, for like fire code reasons, it was like max 40 people. So there was 40 registration spots for each event. And I think a lot of the events had been full at that 40, but then only maybe 50 or 60% of people had been showing up. So they were taking chairs away when we got there. And then we're like, no, you leave those chairs there. We're going to need them. And then they added chairs and apparently we got to like 100 people.
Wow.
And it's like capacity for 40. And it just, I think it felt good.
A lot of people were looking around going, oh, shit.
Fire hazard.
Yeah. don't talk about that part. Yeah. But it was a
good feeling that the on was like, okay, these guys, they can stay. They can stay.
The final thing that I think we have to talk about for New York, which I don't even know if this is still relevant news, but the Matt Choy scandal. You guys know about that?
I thought I saw him out to dinner the night before. Does he have two other mates? Does he have two other mates that he spends a lot of time
with? I can't
tell
you about his friend group.
Because
I don't know.
There was three blokes like, and one of them, he looked exactly like him. I was at dinner and I could see them across and they were like at a pretty nice restaurant, just not giving a shit. Just like eating whatever and then they just left. And
Is he a Run Street guy? Why is he?
He's a New York
podcaster.
Why is he popular?
Or like a YouTuber almost.
I think he's just, I think he does YouTube, Instagram, influencer, New York runner. But he's infamous. Like people really dislike him.
So what's the reason why they dislike him?
Because he just always does douchey stuff what happened in New York.
I've been known to be a troll on Instagram sometimes.
I'm glad you brought it up.
And, I saw his, like, I don't follow this guy, but it popped up and he's like, you should never wear these shoes for anything but a marathon. And it was like, super shoes. I think it's Nike super shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if you do a 10K? And like, it was like, it was like 3 or 4 months ago. And I still get people liking the comment. So that's why I know, like, I just always kind of see this guy.
Yeah, I think
and
he's
cute.
I think he's just like a classic influencer, and so if you know nothing about running, maybe his content appeals to you. But I'm pretty sure that everyone that's actually in the running world is like, this guy is full of shit.
What does our manager think of him? T Wang
does not like him.
Really? I'm not surprised.
So on Sunday morning when the race was going by, because I think he was in the influencer section of the race. I think he was.
Is that a section?
Bro,
yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I saw Matt James gets to start in front of the wheelchairs or something.
Because I went to Shalane was on her own. I went to New York in 2022 because my girlfriend ran, and like, yeah, that guy and Shalane was like out in front of even the pros.
Yeah,
like,
it's weird
running like 9 minute pace. I was like, what is going on here?
I feel like it'd be lonely being because they're like literally on their own. But I think because I mean maybe he did just start with the first wave and he was just towards the front of it, so it wasn't. crazy maybe he was, but what was crazy is I saw him come past and I recognized him because there was two city bikes with him in front and behind him.
I love how this guy's like has all this prep video but he just doesn't even get like actual bikes, he gets city bikes. Yeah.
But the crazy thing was like both of them were wearing yellow high-vis vests and they had like lanyards with like official looking things on them. So I was like, I was shocked. I was so confused. I was like, I literally thought that, I was like, did they really let him do this? Like, that sounds like such a, like, there's no way they let him bring bikes on the course to film him. But then they look so official. So maybe somehow he like paid them a ton of money for it. And it turns out, he just did it.
It's like, that would be hard to get those bikes on the course. There's like fences.
It's real sneaky. And there's so many police.
And he falsified the passes too.
Well, I think maybe the passes might have been from access to like something the day before or like,
so
you know, but yeah, not for like getting on, like, definitely not to allow city bikes to
how could
the
you
course.
Think that you could get away with that and how could was, you think
yeah there was outrage. I mean, I think he's done stuff like this before, kind of.
So dangerous though, like what happens if those bikes went off or went down, like you would hit somebody, it would just be shocking.
It was
like,
crazy.
Isn't he banned from every New York Roadrunners event forever?
And then so everyone was so pissed and then everyone was so happy because
They banned him
from there
for life,
forever.
And he lives in New York City.
Yeah, I think so.
They banned him for life,
dude. That he'll have no New York Roadrunners puts on a race. I think like every single weekend of the year.
So has he said anything about it? Has he
addressed it? I'm sure our fans probably actually know more about the situation.
Insane. So wait, so that means he's like content is not going to exist anymore because he can't get into any races.
Not in New York.
He does like this, he does like talking content and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Any publicity is good publicity. He's probably even bigger now.
Yeah. So that was Matt Choyne in New York. It took over. Well, I mean, we have like some tangential, like with Tom Wang, like he's like, you know, New York running scene. I think if
underground scene.
Yeah. We have like all these connections to the New York running scene. So we heard a lot of the stuff. I think like maybe if you weren't connected, you wouldn't know. But yeah, everyone in New York, it was like the biggest story ever. I like on the Running New York Reddit or whatever, like it was like massive. Take this guy down. Type vibes. They hate him.
So the bane of their existence.
And it makes sense.
People were just waiting for that opportunity.
I think so.
There's celebrations in the streets afterwards.
Yeah.
All the runners are running around with a flag, just saying, "Hey, we're free."
So that was hilarious to see that play out. But yeah, that was our trip to New York.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Had a great time.
Yeah. Was your trip good, George?
My trip was good. Yeah, no, it was really...
Did you have a good time? What did you do? Anything fun at the wedding? Any speeches? Tears? Fun drinks?
Did you tears it up?
Did you do some fun dance moves with Jenna? What was the highlight?
Did you wear a hat?
Did you wear a hat?
To the wedding?
Boots?
No.
Did you wear a hat?
No, I wore what I was told to wear. I was...
Oh. Tux.
I was fortunate enough to be a groomsman for one of my best mates in college. So I wore what he told me to wear. Mm. And... just a nice, good just a classic good. Black tux. It was beautiful wedding. It was very cool to be a part of. And second time being a groomsman, but first time was my brother. So first time for a close friend. And that was really cool. Spent the weekend we had an Airbnb with all our college friends. So that was really fun. Right on the beach. It was like 70 and sunny every day, like it is in California. And the wedding was sweet. There was some karaoke to finish tonight.
That's delicious.
What did you sing?
I'm terrible at singing. That's
what did you sing though?
Same.
The NAU national anthem.
No, Jenna signed us up for
Lumberjack.
I'm a lumberjack.
Ain't
lumberjack.
No mountain high enough. Lumberjack.
Okay, that's a really good song. How many times?
Actually, really hard because it's like quite slow.
Yeah,
and like the slower the what I learned from watching other people sing. Like if there was like a fast song where like the
energy.
Yeah, and you're like, you can't really screw it up because you just sing like as fast as you can.
Mm.
Yeah. Whereas like you had to really get the rhythm right. And I've never sung that song before.
What did it sound like when you sung it?
Did you guys sing it together or?
Well, is it a duet?
It's a duet. So like it on the screen, it has like different colors for each part. Yeah, and then like some of it's together.
Yeah.
So there's like karaoke songs set up for that.
Do you have a karaoke song, Morgs?
It sounds like we have karaoke coming up this week.
It's crazy that you sung
that. That's why I brought this up.
Because that's... that's probably the duet I would choose to sing as well.
Oh, with Cinta?
Yeah, just because of what's that movie called? Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
That's the song from Remember the Titans, no? That they sing in the locker room?
I think it might be.
If you need me, call me.
I'm pretty sure it's also in I think it's in Guardians of the Galaxy as well. I wouldn't be surprised. But
I think it is.
My song.
It was hard.
The song I would sing for karaoke, Somebody to Love by Queen. I want to sing that song for karaoke.
Yeah.
Do you have a karaoke song?
Well, it's happening on Friday, so I'm locking it in.
I'm locking it in.
Mm. Probably some like
Slump God Ski Mask song or
God Ski Mask.
Slump God Ski Mask.
Don't listen to him.
I don't know what that is.
What would be your go to?
Like Blink 182.
Okay.
Something.
Yeah. Classic. That's classic.
See, if I chose one, I would definitely choose like some either 90s or 2000s like rock.
Yeah, because people just get around that.
People know that shit.
Fucking love that.
So George, how many times was Mike Smith mentioned at the wedding?
Wait, did I not? He was the wedding.
He was at the wedding.
He married them.
He officiated.
Dude, this is such a cult, bro. It's such a cult, man.
What kind of guy did?
Dude, I can imagine at your wedding day, he's going to officiate you as well. Like, this is such a cult, bro.
I forgot to mention that part.
That's crazy.
Oh, God.
It was he had conference.
See, I was going to make a joke about that. I'm lucky I didn't make a joke about that.
Okay, imagine, and just picture this for a second. George's wedding, Mike Smith is officiating, Dathan's sitting there in the seat. How's he feeling? Oh,
Dathan is pissed. I thought I got through to him. God damn it.
He is livid.
he is livid.
Do they not like each other?
No, it's more that like
jealousy.
Dathan and Mike are ever in a tug of war, as they say, over George Beamish's heart of running. So at this point in time, no one's ever beaten Mike Smith in this tug of war. But Dathan, I'd say he's getting close. Like he's, you know, coached George to a world championship and, you know, they've got good memories, good vibes. But I can tell if they were going to get married right now, if Geordie Beamish was going to get married right now, I think Mike Smith's officiating over Dathan.
He also has the voice for it.
Yeah. But Dathan would be hilarious, bro. You got to admit, Dathan officially goes, "We are gathered here." It's like,
yeah, you're right. That would be just for the meme.
Yeah, just for the meme. It'd be quite funny. But
amazing.
So Smith was there.
Does he know that Owen's doing well on the podcast?
We talked about that, I think.
Did you actually? Fuck. So we had Mike Smith on for a call and he called me Owen the entire podcast. Did not know who I was.
He said he was doing it. He thought it was funny.
No, I thought you said he actually made the mistake.
Well, I thought he made the mistake.
Yeah. Was it deliberate?
See, that's what I thought originally, but then I feel like this time he was saying that he did know. But
I reckon he's just
playing it on. Because he actually doesn't know who I am.
That's kind of what he said. He said it was like he didn't know you well. So he was like, I don't know, using it as a...
But does he know Morgan well?
Well enough. We've met before in person.
I met him and he forgot to shake my hand after pacing his guys.
Morgan been in the dorm.
I used his stationary bike.
Oh, really?
He came and asked me about hill training.
Well, I slept in his guest room.
I will say.
When?
Being named Morgan, you can't really confuse the name.
Yeah, it's an easier one.
Oliver. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Olivers out there, Morgan.
Ollie Olin.
There's only one Olin and one Oliver. Olin. Come on, bro. That's not that hard. There's a lot of Morgans.
Yeah, Olin's like a very...
It's a very unique name.
Olin's Olin.
Yeah.
Like, we all know who Olin is.
Yeah. I guess I'm just Ollie. Very easily forget it. People forget
But the
me.
Names are similar.
Yeah, they're similar enough. I love that he's playing
anyway,
it off, though.
Anyway.
He's like, that was all part of the plan.
He's playing off. He's like, yeah, that Olin guy.
But he did well, though. It was a nice... Like, he had said some nice words beforehand. Mm. And
I mean, he is doing well in life right now, I guess, Mike Smith.
He unfortunately didn't stay for karaoke.
I would love to hear him.
Can anyone officiate a wedding?
Yeah, you have to.
Apparently, it takes like 10 minutes online to get ordained or whatever it is.
You know,
has that changed in a lifetime?
How easy it is to do that?
Yeah, surely.
Because I feel like when you're younger, you think like someone officiating a wedding.
You need a priest or someone.
Go to school, but
they probably can't officiate a wedding in a church, Kenny. Was it? It probably wasn't in a church.
It was not. It was outside. Okay.
Yeah, you probably need to.
Changes it.
He's not a priest.
But who would be your dream person to officiate your wedding? Do you have one?
That's a good question, and I don't have one.
I do.
Is it Mike Smith?
It's Mike Smith.
Yeah, easy answer. Mike
Smith. No, it's definitely. Honestly, it'd be Shalane Flanagan.
I was gonna say Jerry Schumacher.
Jerry Schumacher. And it's just over FaceTime. He's just a little tablet.
I'll have Jerry Schumacher.
You don't want Jingy?
No, Jingy's gonna be one of my groomsmen.
Oh, he's your best man.
He's one of my groomsmen. No, my brother's gonna be my best man.
Can I just
Jingy's in the wedding party?
Jingy's in the wedding party, yeah. Jingy's there, Tom Wang is there.
Make Josh Kerr in there too.
Yeah, Jingy and Josh.
Jingy, Josh, and Yara. And then Cole as well. Bring more together.
Cole has to be there.
Yeah.
Can I just bring something up that's like pretty unrelated? Well, I mean, we're talking about Jerry Schumacher, college coaching. We didn't even make this comment, and this is actually some kind of college running beef, which, yeah, we haven't really talked about. But when we were at Wisconsin, and whenever our team wouldn't have success, like the alumni would be like, wow, you guys suck and stuff. Mm, and like, yeah, that was like Jerry. Like, those guys were anti-Mick at times. You guys realize that Mick just beat Jerry at conference?
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
And guess what? Jerry probably is not getting any shit for it.
Apparently, this is like some real, I can't reveal my sources, but apparently Jerry and Chris Alinsky did not congratulate Mick at all.
Really?
On winning conference, beating them.
Did Wisconsin win?
Yeah. They won Big Tens.
The guy won.
Bob Liking,
like
four.
Five.
Yeah, four.
Right? Four. Bob Liking, legend.
He won four in a row?
They didn't even congratulate, yeah. They didn't even congratulate him?
No, he individually.
Yeah. Individually won four times. Yeah. Wait, they didn't congratulate him at all.
And they both, obviously, Wisconsin legends.
And they were both there.
And they're both there getting beaten by him.
And they didn't even congratulate
Oregon second?
Oregon was
not even second.
Were they supposed to win? Like, were they mad? I think
Wisconsin was pretty good. I think.
I love that college pettiness, though.
It's good, right?
I remember stuff in college was fun.
Do you want to hear the best college pettiness ever that I've heard, which I think I forgot to tell you guys, and I was meant to tell you this. So there's been some really entertaining online. Pretty much Mick is in a point in his life where he should have probably retired. And so he like doesn't really care about anything anymore. And
he can get away with anything.
So Carlson, the new CU coach, he had did you see his Instagram post where he said like Boulder is paradise, I think he said. And
oh, I saw that.
And then Mick commented on it saying, I thought Knoxville was paradise. Yeah. This is where he used to coach just a short 1 year ago. And then apparently at the pre-Nats meet, I think it was, all the tents were in alphabetical order except he put Tennessee and CU next to each other.
That's pretty good.
He deliberately did that too. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Troll.
That's
well done, Mick.
Dude, honestly, Mick. Hats off.
You put him
that's
so
hilarious,
funny.
Bro.
Put them next to each other.
That's very funny. He does not care.
What a legend.
He's pretty old, right?
Yeah, he's old that's enough.
Good. Old enough not to give a shit.
I appreciate the trolling.
He's made enough money in college coaching. He's done well for himself.
Yeah, he's living it. He's living it up. And now he's just reaping the rewards of just having a solid, consistent program. Because like, how many times have they won Big Tens?
In his career? In his career, I think they've probably only lost it two or three times, maybe.
Pretty good.
And he's been there since 2009, I think.
Yeah.
So he's doing pretty well.
Doing pretty well.
But yeah, well.
Nice.
Morgan. I feel like we actually didn't just. I was scared that we were just going to talk about stuff that was not relevant to you, but I feel like everything was actually very relevant.
Yeah, I mean Matt Choi. It's relevant to everyone, man.
Who's it not?
Should we chat some triathlon finally?
Yeah. Where do we even begin? Explain triathlon to us as newbies. That I'll tell you what I find really hard is someone who's just like.
I feel like you guys know. Time I see you guys, you know a lot more than other runners, which I appreciate.
I think my life leading into running was from a place of triathlon as well, because I know a lot of people that have done triathlon. So,
well, in
but it's
Oceania,
changed.
Australia,
it's changed.
Yeah. In Oceania, it's a bit
more
popular.
But
than
it has
here.
Changed, though, because talking to like Greg Welsh or Matt Crowley, even like Hauser as well, like talking to those individuals about triathlon, it feels like it's an evolving sport.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's pretty young. Like,
yeah, it's a very young sport. So, like, how do you feel like? Because you obviously went through CU running background. You're obviously a very good swimmer. How do you feel like, from your experience from the running kind of world to the triathlon world? Like, is it similar? Is it different? What are things that you think?
Ollie's thinking of making the transition. That's why he's asking.
Well,
I can't ride a bike though. I can't ride a bike.
You could learn. You should.
Dude, that's the only thing. I actually was going to hit you up for swimming when I was I couldn't fucking walk because I was getting I was getting lonely in the pool by myself, passing grannies and them getting the shits because I was just lapping them constantly. In short course pool.
I don't know how you. Swimming is the one where I like really hate doing it alone.
Yeah,
it's so.
It's tough. It's like, mentally tough.
If you have a group,
the training.
Well, just you don't talk. You can't talk to anyone. Like,
but like,
anyone
it's weird
anyway.
Though because like when you're with people, you still don't really talk to them.
Yeah,
I guess in between reps, but it's just like
the vibe.
A 90-minute swim with someone in a group will go by fast, but by yourself, it's just for me at least. I'm like,
get through the warm up.
90 minutes in the pool sounds miserable.
Dude, I've been swimming 2 hours the last.
Oh, really? Damn.
I started swimming with a new group, and they swim 2 hours. It's tough.
And you're on the training for 5 hours.
Yeah, man.
What a
burning calories.
Are you eating as well?
Dude, I'm eating a lot.
Yeah, you got to.
What's up?
Do you need a mid podcast like break to get some calories in?
Oh yeah. Well, so I did do 5 hours on the trainer, and it was a snow day, so it's not like I chose to be on there. But
true.
I did the first hour. Just I woke up and got on the bike, and then I ate breakfast after an hour. Took a break. So.
Oh, that's cool.
I broke it up a little.
That's nice. Cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
God damn.
So obviously you train a lot, but you do Olympic distance right
now.
Is that like the cool one or is Ironman the cool one?
I think short course Olympic. I think that's the cool one.
That's the cool one. But Ironman people, they get paid, right?
If you're good. Yeah. If you're really good in Ironman, you get paid. And then there's like the T100 series, which is new just this year. And they get apparently paid quite well too.
Okay.
But for me, like short course is like track. It's almost like being a good 1500 runner if you're a good short course athlete versus being a good marathoner. Like they're both cool, but
just different.
The cool kids want to, like, you want to stay shorter as long as you can, I guess.
And then move up.
Yeah.
Before you're forced to move up.
Yeah.
Or go back and forth like some other people.
Yeah. So.
And then looking at short course specifically, then there's what's confusing to me is seeing all these different races and not understanding how they're connected or like which is like the more legit race. Cause you have like, can you explain how it works with like the World Series races and like where super tri stuff fit in?
Sure. Cause it's IAAF, right? For track and field. So that'd be a World Triathlon for us. And then we have World Triathlon Championship Series, which is the highest level. And then there's World Cups and Continental Cups, like World Cups being second level, Continental Cups being the lowest level. And basically, the highest level is the most prize money and then the most points to improve your world ranking. And then the world champion at the end of the year is you can only really get points through the highest level racing. The World Cups doesn't really do anything for like your world, like being the world champ. And then Super League is... It's kind of like a separate. It's almost like its own thing. Mm. I mean, it's a different format. It's good prize money and it's just kind of different. I mean, Super League's even newer than like the World Triathlon stuff. So that like that's really growing. And like every year, it's like they're doing some different format. There's some different rule. I think they're trying to. I think they want to make a partnership, but it's been hard for them to kind of get a. Like get it streamlined. So
when did it start?
Super League started. Yeah. I want to say in 2018 because I started triathlon in 2018. I think that was the first year.
The way you described it to me is what you said is so the World Triathlon Series is like Diamond League.
Yeah.
World
yeah.
Cups maybe like gold. And
yeah.
Then below that's just more general races. And then what you're describing with the Super League is pretty much Grand Slam.
Getting slammed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of how I see.
It's pretty
that world.
Exclusive,
I look at it too.
Right?
It's kind of those. Yeah.
Goals. To even do
it's
one of
like,
those events.
I want to say there's like 20 per race in a Super League, and then a normal WTS is 60.
Okay. Have you done a Super League?
I've done one Super League. It's hard, man. I mean, like, those guys race the Olympics, and then a week later, we're in Boston racing. Because they asked me, like, early in the season if I wanted to do it, and I was just like, and you had to commit to all five races. And I was like, and then they raced in Saudi Arabia last weekend.
Just crazy.
And I was
schedule.
Just like, I knew how much I put into Paris, and I was just like, I'm not going to want to fly around the world for the next 4 months, 3 months, just racing and trying to hold on to shape. And I knew I'd want a break. So it's how those guys keep going is pretty impressive to me, at least.
Getting paid some good money, I guess. Is it, what's like the prize money for winning one of those events?
Dude, I don't know. They change it every year too. Because like some years it's like, oh, they're giving appearance fees, and some years it's like I think this year it was like there was no prize money at each individual race. It was just the overall series, and then there's like a team aspect.
The team aspect like, is weird to me.
Yeah, there's like a U.S. team, but the best guys in the U.S. team were German and Portuguese. So it's just it's. I think it's really cool, but I think it's going to take a few more iterations for them to figure it out.
Yeah. And the world triathlon champion, is that the person who wins the world final, or is it just the person who wins overall?
It's the overall. So I think the Diamond League used to be like that.
Diamond League used to do an extra thing. So there would be a Diamond League final that you'd qualify for.
Okay.
If you win the Diamond League final, you are the Diamond League champion. However, if you win the overall points, you get a bonus.
Okay.
So like regular season.
My first year, Stewie McSwain won the regular points.
Okay.
Which he got 10K for. And then Jakob won. No, Timothy Chariot won that race. So he was a Diamond League champ. And then Stewie was a regular champ of the season. So it's like similar like that. But they don't do that anymore. And now it's just Diamond League final. You win it.
Yeah.
You win the whole thing.
But Alex won both, didn't he?
He didn't win the final. Hayden won the final.
Oh, Hayden won the final by a lot. What am I talking about?
Yeah, so.
But then Alex won it overall.
My Alex God, won the George. Overall.
I was thinking of Super League.
Hayden won Super League too.
Hayden won everything.
Hayden.
Except.
I feel like Alex kind of won.
Alex won. The last Super League, but I think Hayden won the overall Super League.
Okay.
Because Alex, he missed a race because he was injury or something.
Alex, he listens to our podcast, so Alex, could you reach out and just clarify?
I watched them race in London.
At the Super League. Yeah.
Super League. Hayden won.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think was something wrong with Alex that day.
Cause he was way back.
He was chilling.
Winning the Olympics and then like,
having a go again.
It's just like, I don't blame those guys for having bad days. So I'm sure he just had a bad day. Like, in a sport like triathlon, it's not, if you're a little bit off, you can lose a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like you just like lose the kick by 5 seconds and you're 5 seconds back, which is a lot in track and field. But
Speaking of Olympics, how was your experience there? Did you enjoy swimming in the Seine?
I personally did not.
Did you enjoy your race getting delayed multiple days?
Did you get E. coli?
I didn't get E. coli. My teammate Seth got E. coli, and a bunch of people did. I was lucky not to, but yeah, Paris was cool. Like I was a bit let down in my individual race, but we got a relay medal, which was pretty cool.
Bro, you got two Olympic medals.
Yeah,
that's two more than any of us.
Yeah, no, it's really cool.
Sick.
Yeah,
it's really cool. It's one of those things where, you know, there's a letdown of the individual and like. But then there's just like certain times throughout the day that you're just like, wow, I've like two Olympic medals. Like that's pretty, like doesn't matter what they're in. Like it's pretty cool. Yeah. So
you literally have an Olympic.
And like, it's like one of those things, like if you told me like 15 years ago, you have two Olympic medals, I would be like, wow, that's sick.
Cool. Yeah. So even make the Olympics is like a huge
honor. Exactly. So
it's a pretty incredible thing to even to the medal of it.
So when they were delaying the triathlon, it was, I think everyone heard about all the drama about the water quality. Do you think the water was actually good enough on the day that you race, or you think they were just like, fuck it, these guys have to race?
The second one. I don't even know, man. I mean,
I heard the water in Tokyo wasn't that good either.
The water in Tokyo wasn't good, but they so it was in a bay, or kind of like a bay, and they made these giant nets that would like, it was almost like a giant filter. So where we swam was filtered. I think they did a much better job, whereas in Paris, I feel like they just kind of hope for the best.
That's the French that's the French way to do it. Yeah. Just hope for the best.
They hope for the best, and then it poured with rain.
And then it poured rain for like 5 days before, and
hoping for the best doesn't work.
Yeah, so they delayed it a day. And
then it got delayed, like you ended up having to go in like the middle of the day because of
the men and women were going to be, I
separate
think,
days, and they ended
Tuesday
up
Tuesday and Wednesday. And then they delayed the men till Wednesday. So the women were at the original time 8, and then we went at 10:30 or something.
Was it hot as shit?
It wasn't that hot.
Really?
No. That wasn't a huge factor.
Not a factor.
Yeah. The river itself was more of a factor.
Crazy. Was it in the relay where they had the issues with the currents as well?
Well, the current was really what that's
How was your swim?
In the individual was really bad, which is that was it was really the current that messed me up. Cause I mean, honestly, I'm not the fastest swimmer for the world triathlon stuff, but I'd say I'm normally top 20, top 15.
Which is a good place to be for the swim. Yeah. Cause then you're kind of in range of where, cause when you get on the bike, right, you want to stay in that.
That's probably, yeah. Is that in front of Alex and Hayden normally?
Yeah. I normally swim in front of Alex and Hayden. I mean, those guys have improved, but it's like, or they're like, we're all close to each other, but I was, so 35 guys made the lead pack. So you can imagine it was a bit of a shocker. And then not only was there a gap, it was like 15 seconds. Because
by the time you got on the bike.
Yeah. Because what with the current, there was like the bridge and the tunnel too. And looking back, it was really stupid. But for some reason, I decided to go straight down the middle of the tunnel. And it almost, like the current was really strong. And everyone was being smart and trying to swim on the side. And then especially under the tunnel, it like funneled. So yeah, it got like it twice as strong. And that's when I was kind of connected to the pack, and then that's when I just lost it all. So that was tough. Yeah.
How important is the, like, is the swim all about not necessarily being the best, but about making, like, front pack? Is that, like, kind of how you talk about, like, swimming? And
I mean, it's really, it's hard to predict. Like, there's races where being, you could be 30, you know, you could have been 35th in Tokyo, and you would have been, like, in theory, you would have been fine as long as you could bike with the, that get up to the main pack. But there's races where there's breakaways of, you know, 5-6 guys. So you
on
do
the
wanna,
swim.
Yeah. Like, and they'll get a break and get away and they'll get a 90-second gap onto the run. So
that's what I would want.
Yeah.
I would want, I'd fucking flog the swim because I knew, and then I'd, for the bike, I would just try and just
chill.
Just try and do as much as I can to not get too caught up and then go for the run.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think, like, on the bike, I'd get fucking cooked if I did.
I mean,
if I ever did
I think
it.
You'd practice and get better.
Yeah,
like,
I know, but
I don't think I think now you would, but
watching, but like everybody in the triathlon are good swimmers now. Like, it's not like
yeah,
talking to a lot of my like dad's friends or people that did the triathlon when they're in the 2000s, like when it was in Sydney when it first got introduced, like the swim was like a lot of people came from like a swimming background in Australia, but they all did running as well.
Yeah.
So then they were able to complement that with the bike, and like they were okay at the bike, but the swim and the run, they were able to like kind of outlast people. Whereas now everyone's just so good. And like your training, we just went through it, it's like so dedicated.
Yeah.
To those three elements where everyone's just so good. So like you said, make a mistake, you're off.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the triathlon, because I know George watches a bit of it, but do you think marketing wise to watch for a fan, for a spectator, do you reckon they can do a better job? Because I think people were interested, but and they see the Olympics and they're interested in that, but you want people to watch the triathlon outside of the Olympics as well, like Super League.
Yeah. Like, I think one thing is like their courses themselves, they can do a better job of, you know, like some of the courses are just not that interesting and it's flat. And, you know, if you're in the race, there's dynamics and stuff like that. But if it's just like, I think if they had more interesting courses, it would make it more of a full race. Like the Super League's done a really good job, I think. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for it being in the sport, but as a fan, I think it seems more appealing to watch the Super League. It's a bit shorter and faster. I mean, I actually, you know, obviously I wish I did well in the individual, but I think the relay was actually really, you know, I had a lot of people.
There was a lot of drama near the end because it was a close finish.
I had a lot of people say like that was one of the most exciting races, not just triathlon races, but in general. They've watched. So I think the relay is actually a really good for the triathlon in terms of like growth of the sport and being in the Olympics.
Is there a place for a relay outside of the Olympics?
They do it. They do it sometimes.
Really?
There's a world champs too, but it's just like, no one cares. Like they care, but it's like, for example, the US Federation will just, it's almost like always the build up to the Olympics. Like, oh, it's, try out our younger guys in this relay so we can see how they do. Maybe they'll be good in 3 years versus just like, it's not like there's a ton of pride on the line that we have to win this relay, this race. So it's more like a building towards the Olympics. But they have them. They probably have three a year in the non-Olympic years.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. The triathlon does have a lot of pretty famous, like big names, I will say though. Like, it's been able to produce some good stars.
Yeah.
One that we often talk about is Christian Blumenfeld, because people that listen to the podcast will know that we worked with Olaf, his coach, for a year. And I mean, people just know them because they're like so memeable and they're just outrageous.
Memeable.
Norwegian method. How is that how he's viewed in the triathlon world, or is he like a big dog, or is it like. I mean, he has Olympic gold, so.
Yeah. So, so. He's kind of. different because he won gold and then kind of moved up to long course for a bit. And then he's come back and he's still really good, but he's just not as not. I don't think he was like really on a podium of a WTS podium all of, you know, the last 3 years. So he's just not as good. So it's weird. I think people are kind of like scared of him still, but it's not like he's on the, like the first and foremost person.
Yeah, he's not like his next yeah. race after winning Olympic gold.
Yeah, but that being said, I think in the long course community, he is like quite feared.
Yeah.
Like I know going into Kona, I think he was a lot of people's pick to win Kona.
Yeah, because after, didn't he just like right after the Olympics go and win like the European?
Yeah, he like crushed
Ironman
him.
Ironman or something.
Yeah, he crushed him Frankfurt or something, Hamburg, Ironman in Germany.
Is Gustav Iden, is he only long course?
He did both
as well.
He tried. He just didn't make the Olympics.
He's never been the best swimmer. And I think when he moved up to the long course, his swim went back a little, even more.
Just made him slower.
Yeah. And he just like, he was just getting blown out every race he did short course, which is not a fun experience.
No, I can imagine.
So you can get lapped out in short course, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the swim and the bike.
Well, if you get lapped out of the swim, that's really bad. It's two laps.
More likely on, does it mostly happen on the bike?
Yeah, usually the bike.
So if you're just like so far back in the swim, by the time you just like get, you just get too far back.
Yeah, like, I mean, some of the courses are 4K loops on the bike. So that's
not pretty short.
That's like maybe under 6 minutes.
So if you're more than 6 minutes behind, you get... They'll tell you to stop.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me once in my first year. I got lapped out.
That's brutal.
Yeah, it was even shorter. That was like a 2 mile city loop, and it was my second WTS.
They just flag you down.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, the crappy thing is you see it coming.
Yeah.
And you see like, because there's like U turns and you know you can kind of like, they're gonna catch me. Like we still have like 4 laps to go and quick math, that's like 2 laps are catching me. So you're like kind of still going hard, but you're just like. Just kind of waiting for the motorcycle to come up on you.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah.
The Super League was really bad for that in terms of they lapped out. So the lap was tiny.
Yeah, you said that London one was like.
Yeah, the London one was tiny and they lapped out so many people. And I think, I almost feel like Alex Yee should have been lapped out, but they just let him
keep going.
Like, yeah, it was looking close. It was like crazy.
Yeah. I know Super League has that like 90 second rule too. So if you get more than 90 seconds back, they take you off the course.
Yeah.
So,
they should start having that in track.
Jordy, you would love that in the 10K.
I think in the 10K, because I went to the Olympics 10K, like I watched in person. I was like, if you get lapped, you should have to run in lane 3
the rest of the way.
Yeah, like that should be a rule. Like let you finish, but like why? It's so annoying when you're kicking around people,
stressing about.
Yeah,
that.
If that's gonna decide a race, like
yeah.
Yeah, they
also, if there's a lead pack and there's like an altercation with a lapped runner, like that just doesn't look good.
It kind of happens.
I swear that happened with the women in Paris.
Yeah.
So I think you should have to go like maybe even lane 4, just get them completely out of the way. Like you can finish whatever.
But at that point too, if you're getting lapped, time doesn't really matter. Nor does distance. Yeah. You probably just want to finish.
Yeah. So.
It's true. Yeah. Well, you had the rest of your triathlon season, but then you had one race on the calendar, which we were eagerly waiting to watch go down, which was the Valencia Half Marathon, which is known to be the fastest half marathon in the world, like probably the most deep one. And we were all very excited because we know one thing that's really cool about you is through your whole triathlon career, I think you've always, you know, stay true to your running background. You've done a few races here and there. You've done half marathons before, like US champs. You've done
cross. I ran US cross in January this year.
Came fourth?
Yeah.
Like you've never really gone that far away from it. So we're like, all right,
I remember you tried to put a move on Cooper with like
a
couple of K to go. That was sick.
Well, like, no, well, I was, yeah, because it was like Rotich and Cooper. With like a lap to go, a little more than a lap to go. And I'm like, these guys have run 3:50 in a mile and I haven't.
Yeah, I think something. I remember seeing that.
I started just going. But Cooper, there was little barriers, like logs, and Cooper like flew over them and put a gap on me. So I think you should do the steeplechase. I think you'd be very good at it.
Let it be known.
George. Right.
But Valencia half. That was a fast course.
What was your plan going into it, knowing how deep and how fast it was going to be and how did it play out?
Yeah, so originally when I was kind of lobbying to get in, there was supposed to be a a pace group that was going after the Spanish national record, which is like 59.50, which is very fast. But I was like, I'm going to go with that and just see what happens. But then when I got to the race, there was only two pace groups, one going for the world record, which Kajelcha got. And then the second one was 59 flat. So that's like
still very quick.
That's really fast. Like, I don't know if sub 60 was like in the cards, but low 59 definitely wasn't. And, cause that's 28 flat through 10K. So like, you can imagine that's just like, that's really fast for an hour of running. And, so I was like, there was kind of talks amongst, some people, like some other Europeans and the guy, Andrew Colley, who's about like a 60-30 pace group, which was really appealing to me. So we start the race, but there was no actual pacer for it. It was just like we were going to run together. But we started the race, and it was just, dude, that race, it was just madness. Like, I've never been in a race. Like, it was just, like.
Just buddies?
It was just, like, people were sprinting. Like, there was ladies next to me. Like, I had no idea what was going on. So we got through, like, 4K, and, like, I thought I was kind of on that pace.
Are you trying to look at your watch? Like,
I wasn't wearing a watch. But I was.
So how are you guys gonna run 60-30 pace?
Just trusting it.
I was. My plan was just to sit in the back and just relax. But so it was like two or three of us at that point, and then we dropped, and then it was down to two of us. And this guy's like looking back at me, like asking for my help, like 3K in, and I'm just like, this guy's done already. So I was like, screw it, and I like threw down a really hard K and bridged up to the 28 flat group, and. Probably a mistake. So I was with them through 5K, and then at 7K I was like, this is way too hard. I think if I didn't surge, maybe I could have stayed with them a bit longer, but with that surge especially, I was like, this is way, I'm gonna blow up. So I kind of like eased off, and I was solo the rest of the way. And yeah, it was really hard.
Yeah,
it was a really hard way to run a half marathon.
What did you end up coming through 10K?
Like 28:24. Jeez. Yeah, which is, I've never run a 10K that fast. So.
And you finished in 61:08?
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Where does that put you, like, in terms of, like, this year, like, Americans?
I think that's third American this year.
So it's still pretty fucking
quick. Yeah, very, it's very quick. It's nice, but, like, if you think about Kajelcha,
don't think about
3.5 minutes ahead of me. It's like, or. Yeah, 3.5 minutes ahead of me.
When we talked about his run on the podcast, like, we were kind of talking about how it goes a bit under the radar. Like, I don't think, dude, like, when you break down the splits of him running 57:30 or whatever, like,
it's insane.
Well, what mile also, pace is that? It's like 4:22 or 23.
Like, that's insane.
It was
that's
literally insane. 20. It was 26.
But,
wait, no, what was it, 10K? 27 something.
27.
He went through 10K like 27:20.
Yeah.
Dude,
but he was a minute. He was a minute and 2 seconds ahead of you.
Yeah, and he dropped the pacer at 3K. The pacer made it 3K. I saw this guy. He was like on the side of the road. I was like, isn't that the pacer? Because the pacer was some African guy who'd never been to Europe and just like said it was too cold.
Yeah.
Because it was raining. Like, it's funny because after Chicago, a bunch of the US women were like, oh, the weather was so bad. Like, that's why I didn't run well. And I'm like, girl just ran 2:09. Couldn't be that bad. And then after my race, I was like, because it started raining really hard, and like I thought it was quite windy. I was like, oh, that weather sucked. Like, if it was a little better, I would have broken 61. And then I see Kajelcha at 57:30. I was like, oh,
no,
I can't
say that.
I guess I got it.
That's gonna be a tough sell.
Yeah, but what I'm saying now is the weather got really bad the last 3 minutes.
he was done.
It slowed me down the 3 minutes really bad.
He'd finished and cooled down by then. By the time the weather got bad.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Well, what we need to know for the next part of this discussion is, obviously, the World Series final was 8 days before this.
Yeah.
So, were you training for the World Final, or were you training for Valencia?
I was training for the World Final. It's actually really frustrating because I got 16th at the final, and my run was just so bad. For like, I think I had like the 15th fastest run or something, but. I think that was, I had some other issues going on. But yeah, I was training for the final. Like, I actually swam and biked really well there. Like, I think I was 10th out of the water, and the bike, I mean, it's hard to like really put a metric on it because it's a group, but I felt quite strong in the group. the run was really what let me down.
And then you went to Valencia. You're like, all right, hold my beer. I'm gonna go run a half marathon at Valencia.
How do you turn that around in 8 days?
It's just a different race. One thing I've struggled with as a triathlete is just like the bike affects my run in a way that's, you know, obviously slows me down a lot. It's not like I'm like really tired and my heart rate's 1,000 off the bike. It's more like my back gets tight, my glutes, my hamstrings, everything gets really, you know, if you watch a video of me running off the bike, my form looks much different than if I'm just in a pure run race. So it's definitely something I need to work on.
Yeah. But going forwards, we've been hearing some chatter in the locker room that you might be lining up at Houston and giving the half another go. Is that true? Is that the plan?
It is the plan right now. After Valencia, you know, my goal was to break 61 and I got really close, and running so much alone, I was just like,
and the weather being bad.
Yeah, the last 3 minutes, the weather being a hurricane, which actually there was like flooding and crazy stuff in Valencia.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so, and you know, in the past, you know, I might do like one half marathon a year, or, you know, the last one I did was 2021. So, you know, it's been a while. But now that the Olympics is over and I was just like, why don't I just do it? Like, I mean, I can train till then. It's like, I want to do this. Why not? Like, I'm getting older. I can't do this for so many more years. Like, I might as well try to do it.
And then if we were to...
You're doing it, right?
That's the plan for you as well. Yeah, cool. That's the plan.
You guys, all three of you should run together. You, Joe, and Morgan. Morgan.
Oh, I'm sitting kicking on Joe.
Yeah.
That was my plan.
Yeah.
That was my plan.
I'll go behind you. You're probably taller than him, right?
We're similar.
Okay.
I think.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to see that last 100 meters. Yeah, Joe's like rigging up a little bit. He's getting close. Morgan Pearson, Morgan B. Dolan coming. The two Morgans.
So will you be a little more run focused?
Yeah. My plan is, so I'm doing actually my first half Ironman December 8th. So I'm kind of focused on that. But then from then, the 8th until January 19th is the race.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
I'll kind of do a little more running, I think, and really try to get that sub 61 out of the way.
Hell yeah. Well, if you sit on Joe, I think he's going to be going in.
Joe has told me that he's going for the American record.
Yeah, which I'll go with him. Like, because I've gone out in 5K at 14 flat now, so it'll feel slow.
It'll feel easy.
It'll feel easy.
What is the American record for reference?
It's like 59.40.
43.
Something around there.
And I think it's like 14.15 pace through 5K.
So that's 15 seconds slower than...
Maybe 14.12 pace. Yeah.
Was it in Houston? Was it Ryan Hall in Houston?
Yeah. That race
apparently
is like...
the course has changed.
That race then. Is
that's what
really
Joe told
impressive.
Me.
Yeah.
He just solos the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's also back in a time when it wasn't.
Ritz told me the story of like...
His shoes are this thing.
Yeah, he's wearing thin-ass shoes time. And he said it was in the morning, super early. It was pitch black and there was a fog, right? And 4:30 mile, Ryan Hall... pops out by himself, and Dathan's like, ain't no way he's lasting, comes through, breaks the American record.
Dathan, was he in that race?
He was watching it. Okay. He wasn't in it, no. But he was like, there was like chatter of like, dude, somebody just dropped everyone and run a 4:30 mile, and you see Ryan Hall come out of the front.
Ryan Hall was in crazy shape at that time. Yeah. That's probably also around when he ran, like not legal, but I think, didn't he run like 204 in Boston? Like,
yeah. I think he,
tailwind
I
in think Boston
he,
or something.
Did, no, he win, was, did he win Boston for that, or was he
no.
top?
Because the guy ran like 202. Something. It was the fastest marathon time ever. until Super Shoes came out, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was. I feel like everyone thinks that record's like easy or something, but
I don't think any record's easy anymore, bro.
Has Connor Mance run a half? What's his half time?
He's definitely run a few halves, but I think his PB's from when I raced him, and he ran like 60:50.
Okay.
So yeah, it's good.
It seems like he should be able to run so much faster.
I think he can. I think that guy's gotten a lot fitter in the last couple of months. I creep on his Strava a lot. I think his workouts are.
Is he going to Houston?
I don't know, but like I look at runners' workouts and I'm like, okay, like that's good, but I see his and I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. Like that's pretty fast.
Yeah, so. I found it. I mean, I guess speaking of New York, I found it crazy that like because I watched some of Clayton Young's videos. And in all of the videos, like, Connor's just destroying Clayton.
Yeah.
And then in the race, like...
He was not far back,
He's, like, just 30 seconds, like, one place back.
I'm
like, wow, that's very impressive.
Seems like that's how it goes with those two.
And also, yeah, Clayton's super chill about it. He's like, yeah, you know, whatever.
It kind of would be hard to train.
I think training with Connor Mann sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Oh, if he's like final reps, are just like, he just fucking crushes it up.
Like, yeah. Last rip, best rip, every time.
Yeah, he goes crazy. But I guess maybe we'll see, depending how this race goes, but do you think there's a chance that you could come back full-time to running, you know, LA 2028 marathon? What does that
sound like? Have you thought about it? Put a time on it. How fast do you have to run in Houston to never run triathlon again?
Oh,
never race.
I think if I broke
60,
that'd be crazy. That'd be so. The thing is, like,
if you break 60, here's the
thing. If you break 60, you should not be in the triathlon.
Here's the thing.
Just to be honest, if you break 60,
like, I have a lot. I've had some good triathlon races. I feel like I've led a lot. There's still a lot on the table. Like, I feel I've been very inconsistent. I've almost underperformed. So it's, and to run. Like, everyone's very complimentary. Oh, 61:08. But, like, at the end of the day, I was 3.5 minutes behind a guy. And a girl was less than 2 minutes behind me. So, like, I'm, like, it's more attractive to me to, like, be the best in the world at something. That being said, if I broke 60, I'd think about it, I think.
Or what we could do is you and I could swap.
That'd be cool.
Because I kind of want to see what the triathlon's like. So I'll take your role, then you take my role, and then we just swap for a year. Do it like an intern, a transfer.
Yeah.
It's an NY transfer.
Yeah. Everyone would be very excited to see what you could do in the triathlon.
What's your swimming? I swam mostly like 100, 200 meter, 100 fly, 200 fly. That's why I swam a lot until I was about
what
18.
What was your 200?
200 free.
Ish.
I was under 2.
For meters,
yeah,
short course,
yeah, 200 free. I was under 2. I swam. My brother was way better than I was. He was like Olympics level development wise. I think my best race though. I swim 5K. I used to swim like 5K races. I think I was second at a nationals.
5K
like
swimming.
Open water.
That's
open
crazy. Ocean.
So you can do open water.
I can do open water. I swam a lot of surf races. I think I was fourth at national.
Yeah, that
surf
triathlon
race.
Swim would be like your strength.
My stroke is open water, but the issue that I always have with when people say, "Oh, you can do triathlon training," I think I did one fun run triathlon thing, and I sucked in it. I got cooked. But I think it's very, speaking to a lot of people that have done the tri and been very interested in it. It's like, I think you would test this as well, because you're a good swimmer, great runner. It would take time to get into
time.
It and to get to that level. Because I think it's the same with his running. Like, you can be so talented at running. Like Yared Nuguse, for example, is an Olympic bronze medalist in the 1500s, run 3:27. The first couple of months when he was in Boulder, he was getting wrecked. He was getting wrecked
in runs
and workouts. It just takes time.
The difference of us is you're like a really good run. Like, you've won a Diamond League.
But mid-D.
Yeah, but
mid-D.
I'm saying, like,
if there was a mid-day triathlon, you're
making the Olympic final and stuff. Like, I don't think there's a world where I'm, you know, like top 12 in the world or whatever.
Yeah, but you haven't run the Houston half yet, so we don't know. We honestly don't know. And I think if there was a perfect world, Morgan, I would switch with you. You could take my position at OEC and I'd take your position in the world triathlon thing, and it'd be really interesting.
If there's a different world, it'd be awesome.
It'd be freaking sweet. I know that actually like can't happen for legal reasons, but it'd be freaking sweet. I'd love to. I just think the triathlon is super interesting to me, and I wish, for me personally, as a spectator and a fan of the sport, I hope that it gets easier to watch as a fan.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very hard to, like, the Super League sounds easier to watch, but as a whole, triathlon's like track a little bit, where there's all these different races, and like Morgan said, you're
know.
Trying to figure out what's going on.
I wish they did like the World Championship was a one-off race every year. I think that really, that helped, because it'd be like, this is the one race that if you're going to watch one, this is the one to watch. I mean, obviously the Olympic year, that's the one to watch.
But you can lead up to it as well.
Yeah, and you could have like a World Cup champion who wins the overall, and maybe they make more money and whatever, but the actual world champion is just that one day. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
That would make it easy to follow as well.
Because you could be like casual and like, who won? Like, it's so hard explaining, oh, this is a World Cup, this is a WTS, this is like... It's just funny because people that don't know, like, you guys actually know, I would say, a decent amount about triathlon. But if you don't know anything, you could see someone on the podium of like a Connie Cup and you're like, oh, wow, they're like, they're really good.
Yeah.
Like, they're on the podium like a lot. And then someone's getting like 6 out of every WTS. Like, that's way, way better than winning any Conti Cup. But
yeah,
you're like, you're not on a podium. You don't get that photo at the end of you on the podium, like, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it seems more obvious in track that, like, the separation between Diamond League and,
well,
like,
I think track,
Silver Label.
You have the time. It's like, oh, you won a 1500 in, like, 3:45. Like, oh, congrats, you won. But, oh, you got second, but you ran 3:30. Like,
I think as well, track is, like, which is we mentioned with the courses. If you're running a Diamond League, you're at, like, a very, very historic stadium.
Yeah.
So that kind of also helps, because if you tell you on TV and you see, like, the stadium with 40,000, yeah, 50,000, he's like, okay, this is a big race. It's got the Diamond logo next to it. That's one thing with the triathlon I was thinking would be cool. I don't know, and maybe you said this, it happens for the Super League, but you know how, like, for the Tour de France, for example, when they ride through the stages, they go through very, very significant places.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool. I know it'd be very hard logistically to do this, but to set up triathlons in certain countries and really unique, cool places. Like, if you could do swims or runs through certain towns or certain regions that are very appealing for people to watch, I think that would also be a really cool thing, because then you could have, like, the bike through a really, you know, famous, like, square goes through there, or, like, the run can go through a certain section.
Where, if you went to where the London Super League one was, like, not on the day of it, like, on a normal day, you'd be like, they had a fucking track on it. Like, it was in the weirdest, it was in, like, a business, it was a cool spot to have on.
Mm.
But, like, the swim was, I can't remember what it was, but it was, like, the shortest thing ever, just out and back, because they did it three times.
I saw something that it was like the fastest swim, and it was London, and it was like 250 for 300 meters.
Like, it was just
like that's
crazy.
Not a 300.
And then the loop was just like on this, like, it was in a cool part of town, but it was crazy seeing an event like that unfold just like in a city.
Yeah. I heard LA, the course is not appealing.
Really?
Already?
Yeah.
Dude, they should swim in the ocean and then come out on the beach. That'd be sick.
It's in Long Beach.
They should do the swim in
and
the
I
ocean.
Think it's like, I think
sick.
It is in the ocean.
It must
but
be sick.
But not like a wavy ocean or covered up.
But it's a triathlon. Like, it's probably better to be covered. I mean, I've done a lot of ocean surf swimming, and it's very different. Because, like, if you can, like, for example, I remember my brother, he was leading, like, I mean, this is like when he was probably from 14 to 18. He was leading most swims. But if you can body surf, you can catch a wave in, you can just pass everyone and win it. Yeah. You just get a bit lucky, you know, just a wave comes in your direction.
It's cool as a spectator, though.
It's great as a spectator to watch, but for my brother, who was maybe 100 meters ahead, didn't get a wave, and then the set came in, gets caught, gets second, and my mum's like...
Actually, this year, like, it was the only WTS I've ever been leading on the swim, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I was like, my name's going to be, like, fastest swim, and then... It was like three guys caught a wave.
Yeah.
Past me. I was like, yeah, of course.
That's what happens.
Do you get anything for fastest swim? Like, is
not from the race, but there is
contract bonuses
there
or
is
something?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, your wetsuit sponsor might have a. It's never big, but.
Cool.
Yeah.
Little incentive.
Little incentive.
There. Well, this has been a very informative and very fun talk. Do we have any other questions for Morgan about triathlon, about running, about CU, about. Did you haze Joe back in the day?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
What year were you when Joe came?
I was a senior.
So you
was he changed? What was he like as like a freshie? I really want to see Joe as a freshman.
Yeah. So I'll tell a story where we used to run on the creek, you know, the creek path.
Yeah.
And then you go up the canyon.
Yeah.
So it gets kind of hard. It's a hill or a mountain, I guess. And he was like pushing the pace a little. As a freshman, and like honestly, I was like, "This is cool." He's a hardworking guy, whatever. And he'd already run well and stuff. And we're like, "Yeah, let's do like 9 miles, so 4.5 out, 4.5 back." And we get to 4.5, and he's like, "We dropped everyone." I mean, it's an easy day, so they probably let us go. And he's like, "Yeah," like kind of breathing heavy. I'm like, "I think I'm gonna do 12 today." So I'm like, "You coming?" And he just looks at me so upset, and we just go out another like mile and a half.
You wouldn't say no.
Yeah, yeah. But he did it. And then, now he's... Legend. Now he's...
click-a-miles. Zone 2, baby. Zone 2. You started that.
I don't know if I started it.
Zone 2.
You invented Zone 2.
Yeah, I invented it. Yeah.
So Morgan Pearson's invented Zone 2. Zone 2 is pretty important for triathlon.
What does Zone 2 mean to you?
Well...
How much time do we have?
So like 6 minutes. Like a clicker mile, like zone 2, you know?
Yeah.
6 minute pace.
He's been chucking zone 2 around for a lot of stuff, though.
He was talking to me about it yesterday.
Large amount of.
If you put zone 2 in one of your Instagram reels, how much better does it perform?
Like, like 10x. Like, no, like, seriously, it's so funny.
That's hilarious.
That's the answer that I was looking for.
There was a post that you, I don't know if it's a Zone 2 post, but you had, he's very famous for the reel with Paul Chalimo. What's his name?
Dante?
Luis. He runs at the front of Paul Chalimo, right? And he's a marathon runner, and he's got a very, like, he's shorter than Paul, and he's got a short stride. And when he comes off, and Paul looks like he's just jogging, but he's really fast. There's a video of you just dropping him.
Yeah,
I think that's a Zone 2 video, and I think Joe comments like, is like, Luis needs to do more Zone 2 or something like that. So like the Zone 2 trend is like fully just
enveloped everyone. It's pretty funny.
Like Tade made it kind of
his coach. Which is that guy actually came, he like works for CU, and we were at CU
in the research lab,
and talked to us, and I don't know why that's, maybe that's why Coach Wetmore loved our 6 minute long runs, but people will like shout Zone 2 to me mid race, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. I love that.
Wow. I thought you were gonna say just out on the trails and
ball. Oh yeah, that too. that too
all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Absolutely.
We should just get some Zone 2 merch, just like a hat that says Zone 2.
Oh, he should get some.
I forget if it was my mom or Molly made Zone 2 shirts for the Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love that. Lean into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Press it while it's hot.
Exactly.
Will you be at Zone 2 training tomorrow? With us?
No.
With Clegg?
You'll
know, just everyone look, I guess this is coming out late. Clegg's got a Zone 2 day tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to hopefully be there on Sunday. For 10 by 2 mile, or no, 5 by 2 mile.
10 by 2 mile for you.
Yeah, no thanks.
Get ready for the half.
Hopefully not on the treadmills.
Yeah.
I'm checking right now. I also have a Zone 2 today, tomorrow. It literally says in my long run, Zone 2, steady uphill.
It does not.
It does. It says
every day now.
It says Zone 2 presented by Dathan Ritz.
What's, in Houston, what's your...
What's my goal?
Yeah.
58.
See, the thing is, it's a good question. I don't have a time goal right now. Yeah. I just want to race.
I think it'll be good for guys like us.
I think as I get closer to it and I can see what the field is like, I'll have a goal kind of based around trying to race certain people. Because, I mean, I don't really like putting like a time pressure type goal. And two, the nice thing for me is I would say I'm not taking it quite as seriously in terms of like, this is like a really big race. I'm just like, I think it's going to be sweet to like train like as a half marathoner for the next 2 months or whatever, 3 months, and then see what I'm capable of and then transition to track stuff. Like, I think it's a really nice like stepping stone to a hopefully very successful track season, like especially if I'm like going to be doing the 10K and stuff. So I'm looking at more through that lens rather than like, I really want to like crush it and run like a certain time.
Yeah.
So I think just race.
You'll do better because of that.
Potentially.
I was talking to Joe. I was like, dude, just race it and try to win. Like
in the last few years, it has been, I don't think anyone's broken 60 there in a while. It's been like low 60s, and even if it goes high 59s, like that's a winnable race for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, maybe for you guys.
As opposed to being in the 57 minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what rumor was, Joe was spreading it the other day though? Was someone else is doing their half marathon.
can you give us a hint?
Someone else that does half marathons in the winter? One half marathon normally?
Josh Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
Is he actually?
I don't know. But that's
He just bought a new Cybertruck, so he's...
Does he actually have a Cybertruck?
Yeah, he just bought one.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, I think he hangs out with Elon Musk a lot. I think he's mates with him. But
Ollie's actually so mad about that.
No, dude, I'm selling my Tesla. I'm getting a Rivian.
Get a Volkswagen.
But apparently Josh Kerr will be there.
EV. That'd be sick.
VV, a Volkswagen. Dude, honestly...
Finally a non-downhill one.
Yeah, flat one.
A flat one instead of a downhill one.
Yeah, Josh Kerr, man, it'd be fun to race a half marathon against him, but I don't think he's that intimidating.
The thing is, like, it's kind of a lose-lose for you. Like, if you beat him, it's like he's a miler. If you lose to him, it's like, dang.
It's better just not think about it.
Yeah.
Like, no, but if you lose to him, you think, okay, he's an Olympic, two-time Olympic medalist, world champ.
Yeah.
In running. And then if you beat against him, you're like, oh, I beat a two-time Olympian gold medalist.
Win-win.
I think you should see it as a win-win. I mean, personally, like, to be honest, I think running against him in the track And like, this is a Ollie hot take here. I don't find him that intimidating, even if he beats me. I find people like
Josh.
I love that we
got this clip.
I find like Josh. Josh is a guy who I feel like, because I ran with him in college. It's the same with Yared, for example. Because I ran with him in college, I don't find him as intimidating. I think they're amazing competitors.
I think that's how I feel
and
about
I,
Joe.
And I feel like they're probably, you know, they're
done it before.
They're one of the best runners in the world. But I don't find them as intimidating as like running against like Jakob or running against even like Tim Cherry or like. People that I've seen just...
Or Yomif.
Yeah.
That guy was intimidating.
Seeing people that I've seen on TV just like crush races when I was like unfit and just a shit runner. And then going to race against them, I'm like, oh damn, like these guys. Whereas like with Josh, I kind of went through a career with him and I've seen him like have bad races,
you've
have good races.
You've outclassed him before.
I've said some things that I probably shouldn't have said.
It's valid.
I mean, I guess...
I know how that is for the track. Because there's like guys... who were kind of like on the end of their career when I started, and you're like, I'm still like more intimidated by them. But then the guy, like Alex and Hayden are like, no obviously disrespect. Like at the top of the, like top of the game right now, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going
to
beat him?
See, I think it's no disrespect. Yeah. It's just like, I think I'm a bit closer to them with their careers than Cole Hawker's the same. I think Cole Hawker's like, he's probably intimidating for some other people, but for him, like I've seen raced him. Like I think being around people like that a lot when you're coming through, I think it's nice because
Cole Hawker doesn't strike me as an intimidating guy.
He's actually, dude, ever since winning the Olympics, though, he's so nice.
Yeah, he's
a
nice
dude,
guy.
You can be an asshole now. You're literally won the Olympics.
I like how the end of this podcast just turned into just ragging on all the 1500 meter runners.
Why are we
ragging?
Is it ragging to say someone's not intimidating?
If they want to be, I think those guys all want to be intimidating.
But I do think that they're like so incredibly talented and the best in the world at what they do. I don't find them intimidating as much as certain other runners. But you know what?
People, who do you find intimidating?
The Ethiopians.
Yeah.
Well, like after watching them like drop pacemakers at like 12:45 k pace and then close in 55, that's like pretty mind boggling.
Do you find Jakob intimidating?
I'm his biggest fan. So
do you know who I find intimidating?
I just love him.
These women who are running like
209.
That's like the scary thing about road running, isn't it?
That's what's intimidating.
That's why you don't want to go.
Because that is a lose lose.
That is a lose.
You can't go to the marathon until you can run like 208.
That's the nice thing about triathlon. You don't. They're on a different day.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was windy back. It was bad weather.
Yeah.
Always got that up your sleeve. Well, on that note, I think it's a great time to say thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been so much fun having you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And look forward to seeing you at training whenever you turn up, whenever Joe gives you the invite, I guess.
When Joe clears the schedule with the go-ahead.
Yeah.
Green light.
But, yeah, once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 160 of the podcast, and we'll see you guys all again next week. Bye.